The words of God given to us today are Revelations chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It is page 400 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are in a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Amen. Smyrna was not only a commercially developed city, but also the most beautiful city in Asia Minor. Trade in grapes thrived in Smyrna, and it was also known for spice exports. It was also a port city, blessed with natural barriers, as it was geographically located on a bay where the sea came into the land. So even when a war started, Smyrna was able to protect itself from the enemies by closing off the bay. In the present day, Smyrna is called Izmir, which is the third largest city in Turkey after Istanbul and Turkey's capital, Ankara. And grape trade still thrives there. Moreover, the spiral path up the Pagos Hill, the temples of Cybele, Apollo, Asclepios, the god of medicine, to Aphrodite, the goddess of beauty, reveal their magnificent grandeur. And even libraries, performance spaces, and memorial halls boasted their beauty in an orderly manner. And on top of the hill was the Temple of Zeus. And so the path up the Pagos Hill was called the Golden Street, and Smyrna was called the Crown of Asia, the Glory of Asia. Yet, although Smyrna had been a commercially developed city of artistic beauty, it had been a difficult place for Christians to live. The statue of Goddess Dea Roma, as well as the temple for emperor worship in Asia Minor, was also built for the first time in Smyrna. Once a year, all Roman citizens had to burn incense at the altar of Caesar, kneel down, bow, and confess that the Caesar was the Lord. Afterwards, they received a certificate for having performed their religious duty. With that piece of paper, people were able to worship any god they wished to serve. And the certificate was like a permit to serve other gods besides the Roman emperor. And it was a way to avoid harm even when worshiping another god. However, Christians did not have that certificate. Or actually, they were unable to have the certificate. Caesar was only a finite human being to Christians. Even though he might wield absolute power, he could never be the Lord, and only Jesus Christ, who shed his blood of redemption on the cross, was the true Lord. Therefore, Christians were considered to be traitors who did not acknowledge the Roman emperor, and anarchists who denied the Roman Empire. Furthermore, even Jews persecuted Christians for believing in Jesus, who was only a lowly carpenter from Galilee. One of the typical examples of their persecution is when Jews secretly informed on Polycarp, who was an important person in the Christian society, and despite the fact that he was burned at the stake on the Sabbath, they led other citizens in collecting the firewood for his burning. Therefore, in ancient Asia Minor, Smyrna was the most beautiful city, yet the most dangerous city for Christians to live. The Christians of the church in Smyrna were surrounded by beauty, but instead of being influenced by such beauty, they looked only towards the Lord. And to them, Jesus said, as verse 9 testifies, "I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." When the Lord wrote to the church in Smyrna, he referred to himself as the first and the last, who died and came to life again. That means that he exists always and lives eternally. That Lord said that he knows the church in Smyrna. The refrain from the hymn number 310, "I Know Whom I Have Believed," goes like this: "But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Because the Lord knows us well, we can believe in him and rely on him. And we can be sure that he will protect us. In certain moments of our lives, we wonder whether the Lord knows us and whether he is actually listening to our prayers. Yet, as our years of experience as Christians become longer, we confess that the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. The third verse of hymn number 370, "Singing I Go," says, "He tells me of my Father's love, and never slumbering I, my everlasting King above will all my needs supply." We busy our lives to meet our worldly needs in our lives. However, the more and deeper we get to know Jesus, we understand that we are not the ones fulfilling our needs, but it's Jesus who actually fulfills us. Therefore, the fact that Jesus knows us becomes a consolation, and courage, and hope for us. Lord said that he knows the afflictions of the church in Smyrna. Afflictions or ordeals is called thlipsis in Greek. This comes from thlibo, which means surrounded by suffering on all sides. Christians at the church in Smyrna were faced with the pressure to worship the Roman goddess and the Roman emperor. And the Jews were secretly informing on them or scheming against them. And Jesus is saying that he knows such afflictions were choking them, suddenly at times and slowly at other times. Despite the afflictions they faced, the church in Smyrna probably did not despair and sighing all the time, asking to spare them from such misery. It probably was the opposite. After the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles on the Pentecost, the gospel spread throughout the world. Many of the sick people were healed, and a huge number of people came to believe in the gospel. Such events filled the hearts of the high priests and the Sadducees with jealousy rather than gratitude and praise. So they arrested the apostles and put them in prison to restrain them from further activities. But the angel of God opened the prison doors. Once again, the Sadducees arrested the apostles, but they were unable to jail them again as they feared the public opinion. The high priest told the apostles not to teach in the name of Jesus Christ, but the apostles refused. And they boldly said that it is only right for them to obey the word of the Lord. The apostles were able to be released only after a beating. How the apostles reacted to the incident is recorded in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Suffering disgrace and tribulations for the name of the Lord did not turn into anger or resentment for the apostles, but rather joy and gratitude. When Roman values represented by emperor worship began choking the church of Smyrna, it probably made their belief in the Lord even stronger. Also, the Lord said that he knows of the poverty of the church in Smyrna. Poverty is ptokeia in Greek. This is not relative, but actually absolute poverty. Poverty to the point people have to beg in order to eat something for survival. The grandeur of the city of Smyrna and the poverty of the church in Smyrna probably created quite a contrast, like a decrepit wooden cottage among huge mansions. Smyrna, a port city blessed with beautiful natural surroundings, full of temples, libraries, and performance halls, were enjoying abundant wealth, but the church in Smyrna enjoyed no such thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many were influential." Many Christians of the early church were called when they were poor. Even in our country, many early Christians were poor and of lower class. Their humble position in society was what allowed them to meet Jesus Christ, who placed himself in a humble position. When we have a lot, or when we are in high position, it's difficult to meet Jesus. For rich people and people who occupy high positions in our societies, if they are Christians, they probably met the Lord when their inconspicuous hearts and minds were humble. One of the three often told lies in Korea is when merchants say, "I'm selling at a loss." As such, it is difficult for business people to be completely honest. Some people even say that you can't make money if you're honest. The people of the Church of Smyrna might not have been unable to enjoy economic abundance because they actually set proper prices, kept up with honest practices, and paid the right amount of taxes, while all the other citizens of Smyrna meandered between illegal and legal activities, sometimes evading the law to maximize their profit. Also, the people of Smyrna were able to conduct business or participate in social activities only after they received the certificate from the emperorship. Yet, since the Christians did not have those certificates, their economic activities might have been greatly restricted, which probably was one of the reasons they were so poor. Furthermore, it is highly probable that the most important reason they lived in extreme poverty is because all their possessions and properties probably had been confiscated for refusing to confess that Caesar is the Lord instead of confessing Christ is the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 testifies, "You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." The person who recorded the book of Hebrews says that the reason early Christians did not fall into despair and frustration and thought it unfair to have their property confiscated, but rather joyfully accepted it, is because they knew they had lasting possessions. People who are most fitted to this description are probably the people of the church in Smyrna. The reason the people of the church in Smyrna were able to endure such afflictions and poverty was because the Lord praised them for overcoming their afflictions and poverty, and their faith, knowing that the Lord is aware of their troubles, probably made them even more faithful. In the past, I had led the praise before afternoon worship on Sundays in a different church. And one time, I asked everyone to sing the hymn number 337 with me, and we all sang it together. The lyrics go as, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. And it was when we were singing the refrain, lifting up our voices, everyone was singing, I must tell.
한 여성도님께서 이 찬송을 부르지 못하고 눈물만 줄줄 흘리고 계셨습니다.
Everyone was singing except for one lady who was crying with tears streaming down her cheeks. She had two children, and she worked with her husband painting and papering walls for a living. But a few months before, her husband fell from a height while working and injured his back, so she had to work alone. She not only had to pay the hospital fees and the medical costs, send her children to school, and also had to do household chores. So she was leading a very difficult life. While everyone else was singing praises without thinking about something in particular, she was praying for the hand of God who would deliver her from her hardships. The lyrics of that hymn was a prayer for her to the Lord, who knew of her afflictions and her poverty. Sometime later, her husband recovered his health, and I witnessed her children growing up into faithful Christians. On the surface, and also in considering Roman values, the church of Smyrna was fighting with afflictions and poverty, but the Lord told them that they were rich. It was because through such afflictions and poverty, they could not but remain under, near, and in Jesus, who is an eternally abundant Lord. There are times when we are suffering from hardships, when there is nowhere we can turn to except to the heavens. And we desperately pray, saying that we don't need to be rich, but asking God to just deliver us from this poverty. And I'm sure there are those of you who feel that way right now. Yet an interesting thing is, when we face such poverty and afflictions, it had been painful. But looking back, we realize that we had been rich and happy because of the Lord. We face less hardships and own much more property and possessions now. But we do not feel that we are rich because we are not close to the Lord who provides eternal wealth. Let me read verse 8 once more. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. The people of the church in Smyrna not only suffered from afflictions and poverty, but also the slander of those who say they are Jews. Slander is blasphemia in Greek. The word slander was mentioned in the Word of God given to us last week as well. When Apostle Paul, joined by Silas and Timothy, testified that Jesus is the Christ, the Jews stood against him and slandered him. Slander refers to an organized form of opposition beyond simple cursing or injuring of one's reputation. Another word, blasphemy, which comes from the same Greek root, is used when defiling God. Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven." With the powers received from Satan, the beast, which refers to worldly authority, blasphemes God and slanders his name. Both blasphemy and slander are blasphemia. On the day of the Feast of the Dedication, Jesus told the Jews in Solomon's colony that he is one with his Father God. Upon hearing that, the Jews attempted to stone Jesus. Then Jesus asked them why they were trying to stone him when he had shown them many good works from the Father's hand. John chapter 10, verses 33 then describes the Jews' reply. "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." The Jews believed that it was right for Jesus to be stoned to death, because it was blasphemy that someone as low as Jesus claims to be one with Almighty God. The word blasphemy in this verse also comes from blasphemia. The Jews who call themselves Jews probably harassed the Christians in Smyrna dragging in the name of God. They plotted an organized scheme in secret and informed the Christians to the Roman government and ridiculed them for their confession of faith in Lord Jesus Christ instead of Lord Caesar. And the Jews probably believed that they were just in committing such acts. Yet the Lord says that they were not Jews, but rather a synagogue of Satan. The official name of the synagogue was the Synagogue of the Lord. Yet Jesus, who was the Lord of the synagogue, said that the synagogue of Jews in Smyrna is no longer a synagogue for him. A place full of one's own desire and greed cannot be the house of God, no matter how much people claim that it is. Instead, it becomes a den of thieves and a nest of worldly values. Today is the 496th anniversary of Reformation. Reformation began on October 31st, 1517, when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses on the church door to hold an academic discussion about the iniquity of indulgences. At the time, the Roman Catholic Church sold indulgences to raise funds for the building of St. Paul's Church. An indulgence was a ticket from the papacy that guaranteed the buyers forgiveness of sins and exemption from suffering and purgatory after death. At the time, Luther was a 34-year-old priest who was ordained as a Catholic priest when he was 24 years old, received his doctorate in divinity, and was teaching the Bible at the University of Wittenberg. The letter that Luther carefully composed in Latin began like the following: out of love for the truth and the desire to bring it to light, the following propositions will be discussed at the University of Wittenberg under the presidency of the Reverend Father Martin Luther, Master of Arts and of Sacred Theology, and lecturer in ordinary, and the same at that place. Wherefore, request that those who are unable to be present and debate orally with us may do so by letter. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. This was a notice of invitation for an academic discussion on indulgence at the university. Through this incident and his confession that the church should not become a synagogue in pursuit of material wealth, but rather in pursuit of Jesus and for the truth to be truth, Luther became an important figure in the history of Christian church. People who believe in becoming rich in Jesus instead of in worldly pleasures and possessions, although it might seem insignificant, are those whom God uses for his work. I visited Wittenberg, Luther City, in 2004. The house he lived in still remains as a museum. The desk and the chair that Luther used, as well as his books, are all preserved there. On the walls, notes containing Luther's writings are posted. After I looked around the museum, I went to the souvenir shop. I was picking out a few postcards when something caught my eye. Typically, postcards contain pictures or images, but one of the postcards had no picture or image. Instead, there were words written on it. At first, I thought it was a pamphlet or an information guide. But upon close examination, I realized that it was a postcard as well. The postcard contained Luther's writing. It was in both German and in English. This is what was written in English. He who drinks much beer sleeps well. He who sleeps does not sin. And he who does not sin goes to heaven. Martin Luther. And below that, there was one more sentence in parentheses. I am not sure if Luther also wrote this or whether someone added it on later on. It said, but in heaven, there is no beer. And so we drink it here. Luther said many things, but they decided to put that one in a postcard. The reason churches today become the object of criticism is because they're worshiping the emperor called material instead of the Lord. Also, it is because there are synagogues of greed and ambition instead of synagogues of the Lord and the Word. Many religious reformers, including Luther and Calvin, have experienced a lot of afflictions. Yet they were always rich because they were always with the Word of God. That is the reason they stand tall as those who are rich, even after 500 years. They struggle to stand tall in front of God and His words. And through them, God renewed the church and changed the world. Our lives may be afflicted with hardships and poverty, but if we become fulfilled with the words of the Lord, and if we tend to our lives so that we become the synagogue of the Lord, our lives will become the testimonies of reformation every day. Let us pray. Father God, today is the 496th anniversary of Reformation, but our hearts are heavy. The religious reformers said that buying an indulgence does not guarantee your deliverance, that only through the Word of God, faith, and grace we can be saved. And that although we suffer from afflictions and poverty, if we are rich in the Lord, then we can be rich. But we have not truly believed in those words. Please forgive our sins and our mistakes. People who tormented the Christians of Smyrna thought that they themselves were the descendants of Abraham, but the Lord said they were people who say they are Jews. We reflect on ourselves to see if we had been such people. Please help us to be true Christians instead of Christians in name only. And please help our 100th anniversary memorial church and 50,000 other churches in Korea to become synagogues of the Lord. Help us serve and worship you as you should be served and worshipped. And let us confess that your words are the only bread of life. Father God, when we look back on our lives, you brought many indulgences that testify our lives. that justify our lives and actions. We also confess that we have worshipped other things, other emperors, instead of you. There are many times we made a compromise because it might have been beneficial for us or because we're very used to it. The people of the Church of Smyrna refused to worship the Roman Emperor and suffered afflictions and poverty. You praise and encourage them, telling them they are rich. Help us to become like them. Just as the spiritual wealth of the Church in Smyrna changed Smyrna, and the struggle of religious reformers improved the conditions of the Middle Ages, please help us so that our faithful lives can change us and renew our families and society. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.